Chapter 4. All knowledge of measuring time had escaped Grinya. When a person is deprived of the sun, moon, and stars, he loses all conception of time as he had previously understood it. It seemed as if years had passed, if time were being measured by terms of misery and mental anguish, yet he estimated that his stay had only been a few days in length. He had slept 3 times, and had been fed 5 times since his awakening in the crypt. However, when the actions of the body are restricted, its needs are also affected. The need for nourishment and slumber are directly proportional to the functions the body has performed, meaning that when free and active, Grinya may become hungry every 6 hours and witness the desire for sleep every 15 hours, whereas in his present condition he may encounter the need for food every 10 hours and the want for rest every 20 hours. All methods he had before depended upon were extinct in a dismal pit. Hence, he may have been in prison for 10 minutes, or 10 years, he did not know, resulting in a disheartened emotion deep within his being. The food, if you can honor the moldering lumps of fetid mush to that extent, was borne to him by 2 guards who opened a portal at the top of his enclosure and shoved it to him in wooden bowls, retrieving the food and water bowels from his previous meal at the same time, after which they threw back the bolts on the iron latch and returned to their other duties. Since deprived of all other means of nourishment, Grinya was impelled to eat the tainted slop in order to ward off the pangs of starvation, though as he stuffed it into his mouth with his filthy fingers and struggled to force it down his throat, he imagined it was that which had been spurned by the hounds stationed at various segments of the palace. There was little in the barren vault that could occupy his body or mind. He had paced out the length and width of the enclosure time and time again, and tested every granite slab which consisted the walls of the prison in hopes of finding a hidden passage to freedom, all of which was to no avail, other than to keep him busy and distract his mind from wandering to thoughts of what he believed was his future. He had memorized the number of strides from one end to the other of the cell, and knew the exact number of slabs which made up the bleak dungeon. Numerous schemes were introduced and alternately discarded in turn, as they succored to unravel to him no means of escape which stood the slightest chance of success. Anguish continued to mount as his means of occupation were rapidly exhausted. Suddenly, without notive, he was routed from his contemplations as he detected a faint scratching sound at the end of the crypt opposite him. The sound seemed to be caused by something trying to scrape away at the granite blocks the floor of the enclosure consisted of, the sandy scratching of something like an animal's claws. Grinya gradually groped his way to the other end of the vault, carefully feeling his way along with his hands ahead of him, when a few inches from the wall, a loud penetrating squeal and the scampering of small padded feet reverberated from the walls of the roughly hewn chamber. Grinya threw up his hands to shield his face and flung himself backwards upon his buttocks. A fuzzy form mounted to his hairy chest, baring its talons in his flesh while gnashing toward his throat with its grinding white teeth, its sour, fetid breath scorching the squirming barbarian's dilating nostrils. Grinya grappled with the lashing flexor muscles of the repugnant body of a gargantuan brown-eyed rat, striving to hold its razor teeth from his juicy jugular as its beady gray organs of sight glazed into the flaring emeralds of its prey. Taking hold of the rodent around its lean, growling stomach with both hands, Grinya pried it from his crimson-rent breast, removing small patches of flayed flesh from his chest in the motion between the squalid black claws of the starving beast. Holding the rodent at arm's length, he cupped his right hand over its frothing face, contracting his fingers into a vice-like fist over the quivering head. Retaining his grips on the rat, Grinya flexed his outstretched arms while slowly twisting his right hand clockwise and his left hand counterclockwise motion. The rodent let out a tortured squall, drawn scarlet as it violently dug its foam-flecked fangs into the barbarian's sweating palm, causing his face to contort to an ugly grimace as he cursed beneath his breath. With a loud crack, the rodent's head parted from its squirming torso, sending out a sprinkling shower of crimson gore, and trailing a slimy string of disjointed vertebrae, snap trachea, esophagus, and jugular, disjointed hyoid bone, morose purple stretched hide and blood-seared muscles. Flinging the broken body to the floor, Grenier shook his blood-streaked hands and wiped them against his thigh until dry, then wiped the blood that had showered his face and from his eyes. Again sitting himself upon the jagged floor, he prepared to once more revamp his glum meditations. He told himself that as long as he still breathed the gust of life through his lungs, hope was not lost. He told himself this, but found it hard to comprehend in his gloomy surroundings. Yet he was still alive, his bulging sinews at their peak of marvel, his struggling mind floating in a mirror of impressed excellence of thought, plot after plot sifted through his mind in energetic contemplations. Then it hit him. Minutes may have passed in silent thought, or days, he could not tell, but he stumbled at last upon a plan that he considered as holding a slight margin of plausibility. He might die in the attempt, but he knew he would not submit without a final bloody struggle. It was not a foolproof plan, yet it built up a store of renewed vortexed energy in his overwrought soul. Though he might perish in the execution of the escape, he would still be escaping the life of infinite torture in store for him. Either way, he would still cheat the gloating prince of the succored revenge his sadistic mind craved so dearly. The guards would soon come to bear him off to the prince's buried mines of dread, giving him the sought-after opportunity to execute his newly formulated plan. Groping his way along the rough floor, Grenier finally found his tool in a pool of congealed gore, the carcass of the decapitated rodent, the tool that the very filth he had been sentenced to spawned. When the time came for action, he would have to be prepared. So he set himself to rending the sticky hulk in grim silence, searching by the touch of his fingertips for the lever to freedom.